The Ohio Industrial Efficiency Conference call. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please note this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the call over to Trish Demeter. Trish Demeter, you may begin.
Thank you, Adrian. Good morning, everyone. I'm Trish Demeter, and the Managing Director of Energy Programs for the Ohio Environmental Council. Thank you all for joining us today. We're here to release two distinct and complementary reports on the opportunity to grow jobs, reduce pollution, and save businesses money on their energy bills by tapping into our state's industrial energy efficiency potential. The industrial sector, which includes manufacturing, mining, construction, and agriculture, consumes about one-third of all electricity generated in the U.S. Because of this, the industrial sector holds great potential for energy savings and emissions reductions by investing in industrial energy efficiency and combined heat and power technologies. This is true across the nation, and particularly in states like Ohio, with a substantial industrial and manufacturing sector. Today, you will hear from authors of two reports, as well as business and labor leaders who can offer real-world perspectives on how industrial energy efficiency can be good for business, workers, and the environment. First, I'd like to introduce you to Alexandra Rekas. She is a senior research associate at the Alliance for Industrial Energy Efficiency to talk about her report entitled State Ranking of Potential Carbon Dioxide Emissions Reductions Through Industrial Energy Efficiency. Alexandra, take it away.
Thank you, Trish. My name is Alexandra Rekas. I'm a senior research associate for the Alliance for Industrial Efficiency, as Trish mentioned, and I'm the lead author for the report I'll be talking about today. The Alliance is a coalition of business, labor, and nonprofit organizations that advocate for policies that promote industrial energy efficiency, specifically combined heat and power and waste heat to power. A CHP facility uses a single source to generate both heat and power and can be twice as efficient as traditional power generation. And a WHP facility can produce emission-free power from heat otherwise vented into the air. So our national report that was released this morning ranks states on their potential for industrial energy efficiency, including CHP and WHP, to reduce carbon emissions. Our analysis found that the largest opportunities for industrial carbon emission reductions are in manufacturing states such as Ohio. In fact, Ohio ranked number two on our list for potential carbon reductions from industrial energy efficiency. In the debate about how states are going to tackle emissions, there are many who insist that cutting emissions will cost money. But our report shows just the opposite. We found that businesses can slash emissions and save money on their electricity bills at the same time. Our analysis found that nationally, industrial energy efficiency could reduce annual carbon emissions by about 175 million tons in 2030, and that's equivalent to the emissions from 46 coal-fired power plants. That amount is also equivalent to almost one-third of the national emission reductions called for under the Clean Power Plan. And the dollar savings would be huge. We found that businesses could save $298 billion on their utility bills across the country. So you might be wondering, why does this matter? Well, it matters for two reasons. First, it's important because of the connection between industry and energy. The industrial sector uses a lot of electricity. And that use of electricity has a huge impact on everything from utility bills to carbon emissions. Second, states are considering policies to help implement the Clean Power Plan, as well as other planning for the electricity sector. While the Clean Power Plan addresses emissions from utilities, the industrial sector has an opportunity to help utilities meet those targets. And this report shows that promoting industrial energy efficiency would result in huge energy savings, and that the industrial sector specifically would be a great place for states to focus attention. As I mentioned, our report ranks all 50 states and finds that Ohio is a shining example with huge potential savings. Ohio, as I mentioned, has the second highest potential for carbon reductions from the industrial sector. Through industrial energy efficiency, Ohio could reduce carbon emissions by 10 million tons by 2030, while saving businesses $12 billion in avoided electricity costs. Now let me give you an example of an Ohio company that is already saving energy and money participating in an industrial energy efficiency program. Nissan Brake, which is a company that makes auto parts and is highlighted in our report, has partnered with AEP Ohio since 2008 to install a variety of energy efficiency improvements to their facility, including compressed air, chiller, and other manufacturing equipment upgrades. They estimated they saved $3.4 million in avoided energy costs since 2008, while investing only $1.7 million through their participation in AEP Ohio's program, and that's a pretty impressive return. So policymakers need to take what happened for Nissen Break and apply it across the country. Ohio has the ability to help make more projects like this possible. The bottom line is that there's a huge opportunity, not only in Ohio, but in every state, to make industry more energy efficient so states can save energy and reduce carbon emissions while cutting customers' bills. And it's one opportunity we can't afford to pass up. Thank you, and I'll hand it back to Trish.
Thank you, Alexandra. Up next, we have Amanda Woodrum, a researcher for Policy Matters Ohio and the author of the report entitled Efficient Power, Good Jobs, an Energy Strategy for Ohio Manufacturing. Amanda, take it away.
Thank you, Trish. Ohio needs an energy strategy for its manufacturing sector. There is growing understanding this energy strategy should revolve around combined heat and power technology, a much more efficient and reliable way to meet manufacturers' energy. Ohio's industrial sector consumed about one-third of all energy used in the state. This is more so than even the transportation sector. Manufacturers use energy in two ways. They burn fossil fuels on site to heat both metals and chemicals, but they also purchase electricity from the electric grid in order to power motors, tools, light buildings, run conveyor belts, and the like. In 2014, Ohio industry spent $9.8 billion on energy, including more than $3 billion on electricity. The power manufacturers purchase from the grid, however, is produced very inefficiently. Between our antiquated grid and ancient coal-fired power plants, more energy is lost in our electric system than actually reaches the end user. For every three lumps of coal we put in, two are wasted. Large amounts of energy waste in the electric power sector result in artificially inflated electric prices and large levels of pollution. Almost half of all carbon emissions come from Ohio's electric utilities. Ohio's electric utilities, by way of comparison to other states, rank number one among states in the sulfur dioxide they put in the air, number four in nitrous oxide, and number five in carbon dioxide. Aside from the impacts these pollutants have on climate, electric utility emissions are responsible for thousands of cases of respiratory disease, asthma attacks, and other illnesses. And these emissions disproportionately burden the poor. 8 out of every 10 coal plants are in communities with high concentration of low-income families. There's a better way. Combined heat and power technology, or CHP as it's sometimes referred to, meets both the heat and power needs of manufacturers, but does so from a single source, on site or a nearby location, and does so more efficiently, reliably, cheaper, and with far less pollution. CHP reduces by half the energy needed to create the same level of heat and power than our existing system. Ohio, as you heard earlier, has enormous potential for CHP. We rank in the top 5 states for CHP potential, but unfortunately, we rank 42nd in the nation for actual adoption of this technology. And there are a few major reasons for this, barriers that stand in the way. One is that manufacturers are not in the energy business, and few want to be. So they are not inclined to self-generate their own power. They need, for the most part, an energy partner. But the electricity market is dominated by monopolies with little incentive to produce power more efficiently. And many put up barriers, at least they did so in the past, to third-party energy providers because they are seen as competitors. The good news is that standards for electricity, mandates on these monopolies, force electric utilities to clean up their act and invest in more efficient and cleaner forms of electric generation. Standards like the Federal Clean Power Plan and Ohio's Energy Efficiency Standard for Electric Utilities. The key is that utility investments in from CHP as a result of these standards provide an additional source of revenue support for in order for a manufacturer to justify a CHP project, especially when there are so many competing priorities for manufacturers' resources. Unfortunately, Ohio's Attorney General joined the lawsuit to impede implementation of the Federal Clean Power Plan. Oral arguments of the Supreme Court in that case begin soon. In addition, the state legislature has put on hold Ohio's energy efficiency standard for electric utilities, creating uncertainty in the market. It is expected that the state legislature will try to push through an extension of this freeze in the lame duck session this year after the November elections. Both Clean Power Plan and Ohio's efficiency standard are policy drivers for a more efficient and reliable electric system. Instead of fighting the Clean Power Plan, Ohio should make CHP a priority in the design and implementation of the Clean Power Plan. And my report lays out more specific recommendations for how that can be accomplished. But in general, if Ohio set a goal to achieve just 20% of our technical potential for CHP as part of its Clean Power Plan strategy, we would save $320 million in energy-related expenses, and that includes price suppression benefits. We would meet 27% of our Clean Power Plan requirements, achieve 40% of Ohio's energy efficiency requirements, and create an estimated 4,400 net permanent or full-time equivalent jobs, good jobs, in construction, manufacturing, and electric system upgrades. While there would be fewer jobs at conventional coal-fired power plants, the new jobs in natural gas, CHP operations and maintenance, construction, manufacture of turbines, pipes, and boilers would more than make up for this loss. In fact, operations and maintenance of CHP facilities require much of the same skill set that needed to operate a coal-fired power plant, making for an excellent transition opportunity. So the second recommendation of our report is that Ohio's Clean Power Plan also include a transition program for negatively affected workers from the transition to the clean energy. These workers should be given priority for new jobs created in, from related investment. And where needed, skills upgrades should be provided. Third, Ohio should engage in a multi-state carbon trading program. Given our potential that you heard about, there would very likely be opportunities to provide cost-effective CHP credits or allowances from projects in this state to utilities in other states in order to help them meet their requirements as well as Ohio utilities to meet their own. Lastly, Ohio needs to fully reinstate its energy efficiency requirement. Putting it on hold and continuing to freeze it does a disservice to Ohio's economy, particularly over the long haul. And with that, I will turn it back to you, Trish.
Thank you, Amanda. Our next speaker has worked firsthand on developing and constructing a CHP system right here in Ohio. Mike Larson is the director of DTE Energy Services and is here to talk about this great example of a project in Marietta, Ohio. Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Trish. Again, this is Mike Larson. I'm Director of Business Development for DT Energy Services. We're actually out of Michigan, but we do projects just like Amanda was just talking about, you know, nationwide, including DT Marietta, which is our project that started up in 2015 in the southeast corner of Ohio at an industrial facility. You know, a couple of comments on what Amanda said, or just, tying it together. She mentioned how energy-intensive customers often they have opportunities, but it's not their day job. You know, they're doing other things. They're making auto parts. They're educating students. You know, curing patients. Whatever their industry might be, and so energy is not first and foremost their expertise. So oftentimes they reach out to energy partners like DT Energy Services. We have about 70 projects nationwide. A significant portion of those are the CHP projects that have been talked about so far. So I thought what I'd do is dive in a little bit deeper on a bit of a case study of how the DT Marietta project came about. Our customer is Solvay Specialty Polymers, and they were in a situation where they were buying all of their electricity from the local utility, and they're actually buying their steam from a coal-fired utility power plant just basically across the highway from them. Due to environmental regulations, having nothing to do with, the industry Solvay was in, it was really just around the emissions of that coal-fired plant. It was announced to be shut down, leaving Solvay and a number of its neighbors in a bind to say, okay, what are we going to do to replace this? We need the steam, or we need thermal energy to run our process. The Solvay and its neighbors, they all kind of, you know, went their own way. Two of them ended up with the strategy, you know, Solvay worked together with another one of their neighbors, America's Styrenics, to say, you know, I think we should do is we should put in a small package boiler temporarily to meet the thermal needs while we evaluate long-term, you know, what should we do to, you know, for a sustainable solution that could, you know, take us, you know, decades out. That's where they ended up. They did an analysis internally and then with us, you know, or actually with us and a number of other bidders to evaluate whether they should put in boilers or do CHP, as Amanda described. Where it ended up, it was a pretty easy penciling out to say CHP made sense. So their total loads at that site, they use about 8 megawatts of electricity, and they use about 100,000 pounds an hour of steam. So over the next, I'll say, you know, 2 years or so, there was a competitive bid process. DT was selected, as I said before, CHP was selected, and then we developed the project. And that includes, you know, all the things you'd expect. It is, you know, finalizing design, getting an air permit, you know, ordering equipment, all the way through, you know, construction to bring us online, as I said before, in the early part of 2015. From a labor perspective, again, exactly as Amanda described, we created 10 new jobs on site that, you know, previously, again, Solvay was buying their steam from across the fence and their electricity from the utility. So those jobs weren't there before. So these are 10 new jobs. You know, ironically, eight of the 10 were a former power plant employees from that coal-fired power plant that shut down. So, you know, that was a nice story, certainly for those folks. I talked about it a little bit before, but when I think about Solvay drivers for doing this, they had a number. Some of these have been mentioned before. Ultimately, it was a financial decision. They needed, actually, first and foremost, they needed to replace their steam. Secondly, it was a financial decision to say how to replace that steam most cost effectively. That's where they landed on the CHP. They had to do the decision on whether to do this themselves or do it as a third party. They opted to go the third party route, which of course is a good thing for DTE, and you know, allowed them to preserve their resources and making specialty plastics, which is, you know, what they do on site. We work very closely with Solvay. We've actually looked at doing this at a couple of their other projects or other facilities across the country, and are looking at other ways for additional services and maybe expansion at the Marietta facility. So I think that it's safe to say that Solvay has achieved all their goals. You know, DT is certainly, you know, is excited to be working at that project on a long-term basis. And we've seen, you know, this story play out. You know, every story got a little bit different, but the basics of what I just described, we've seen that play out at a number of our sites that we're actively operating, including, you know, the Solvay project, the DT Marietta project is one of our three CHPs that we operate in Ohio right now. So, that's kind of my summary of, you know, how the story came together, and I'll turn it back to you, Trish.
Mike, thanks so much. Our final speaker, last but not least, is the District 1 Director for the United Steelworkers, Dave McCall. He'll give his perspective on the job creation and retention benefits of industrial energy efficiency and CHP. Director McCall, please take it away.
Thank you, and good morning. USW is North America's largest industrial union and represents tens of thousands of working Ohioans, including those in steel and tire and rubber, paper, glass, oil, and chemical. For us, industrial energy efficiency is common sense. The industrial workers in our state see every day how tough it is to compete in the global marketplace, and that's where efficiency can be one of the key factors that truly can help us. Right now, Ohio ranks in the top 5 states for its technical potential for combined heat and power, but we're only 42nd in the nation's adoption. We need policies to spur CHP growth so that we can get more of the state's power from this efficient form of electricity generation. That will in turn ensure that our industries remain competitive in the global marketplace. If implemented correctly, CHP can also be one of the bridges to new employment opportunities for existing workforce and communities that have negatively been impacted by the implementation of more efficient and effective electrical power production. As was said earlier, the reports today show that reaching even 20% of our potential could mean thousands of quality jobs for workers around the state, and making our industries more efficient will help secure many, many more jobs. Frankly, Solve is a great example of how it really works. Our union members care deeply about the environment. We live in it. Our families live in it. Getting more of our energy from efficient sources like CHP makes sense for our environment and our economy. I want to thank Policy Matters Ohio and the Alliance for Industrial Efficiency for their work on these reports. They clearly show that there are huge benefits for our state if we make our industries more energy efficient. And frankly, we'll be seeing it implemented. It works well. Thank you.
Thank you, Director McCall. At this time, I'm going to ask our operator to describe or let everyone know how you can ask questions of our speakers.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the hand first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have any questions, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. I'm standing by for questions.
Thank you, Adrian. As we wait for folks to queue up, just to summarize, these two distinct but complementary reports on the opportunity to grow jobs, reduce pollution, and save ratepayers money by tapping into our state's industrial energy efficiency potential show us that through a combination of industrial efficiency and Ohio could save more than 15 million megawatt hours of energy each year. We could reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 10 million short tons, which is the equivalent of emissions of approximately 3 coal-fired power plants by the year 2030. We could also create over 4,400 jobs in construction, manufacturing, and other sectors if Ohio took advantage of just 20% of its overall CHP potential. And if we took advantage of 20% of the technical potential, Ohio industrial, commercial, and residential consumers together would save about $320 million each year. So the savings are significant. The job creation opportunities are very significant, as well as a bonus where you're seeing direct environmental benefits. You can find both of these reports on the respective websites, policymattersohio.com and Alliance, the numeral for industrial energy, Alliance, the numeral for industrialefficiency.org. That's the Alliance. It's a number four in between Alliance and Industrial. Also, there will be a press release going out, if it hasn't already, so that there's more details in that as well. With that, I'll turn it back to Adrienne, the operator, to see if we have any questions that have been queued up.
And as a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. At the present time, we have no questions.
Okay. We'll just reiterate where you can find the information for these reports on policymattersohio.com and alliance4industrialefficiency.org.
Trish, you have no –
yes.
It's policymattersohio.org.
I was right. Okay. Sorry, I'm looking at something that says .com.
Yeah.
So, policymattersohio.org, alliance4industrialefficiency.org, and that's the numeral four between industrial efficiency. So, summing up, thank you. If we have any other questions, Adrienne, any questions from our participants today?
I'm checking, and we have nobody in the queue.
Okay. Well, with that, I guess we will wrap up. Thank you so much, all everyone, for participating. Thank you very much to our speakers. And this telephone press conference has been recorded and will be made available shortly. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you, Trish.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.
This concludes the Ohio Industrial Efficiency Conference call. Thank you for participating in this program.